It was not an easy time for Elisha. He had been somewhat the valet, assistant, associate for Elijah, that spectacular prophet, that bombastic prophet, probably the most spectacular of all the Old Testament preachers. Now then, he's gone, and Elisha is standing there watching as he goes up into the heaven, taken away in a chariot into heaven. And Elijah's mantle is dropped, and Elisha picks up the mantle. And he says, he asks the question that is asked and asked by every preacher that's ever stood behind the pulpit. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Elisha, I'd like to answer your question tonight. I'd like to tell you, where is the Lord God of Elisha? Elijah. Elisha, I'd like for you first to lift up your eyes unto the hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my strength. My strength cometh, or my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Elisha, you will find him in the petal of every rose. You'll find the Lord God of Elijah in the scent of every gardenia. You'll find the Lord God of Elijah in the form of every falling leaf. You'll find the Lord God of Elijah in the fall of every wintry snowflake. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You will find him in the beauty of every daffodil. You'll find him in the wings of every peacock. You'll find him in the trunk of every tree and the bud of every flower. You'll find him in the majesty of every mountain, the peace of every valley, the falling of every raindrop. I saw God wash the world last night with his sweet showers on high, and then when morning came, I saw him hang it out to dry. He washed each tiny blade of grass and every trembling tree. He threw his showers against the hills and then the billowy sea. The white rose is whiter still, the red rose is more red, since God hath washed each tiny face and put them all to bed. There's not a bird, there's not a bee that wings along the way, but what is a cleaner bird or bee than it was yesterday? I saw God wash the world last night. Ah, would he wash me as clean of all my dirt and filth as that old white birch tree? Elisha, you've had your eyes on Elijah, and that's not bad. You saw God in Elijah. You saw God in Elijah's prayer on Mount Carmel. You saw God when he stood up against the 800 prophets of Baal. You saw God in his courage. You saw God in his conviction. You saw God in his preaching. You saw God in his stand. But Elijah's gone, but you can still find his God. Lift up thine eyes unto the hills from which cometh thine help. Elisha, you ask the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The heavens, Elisha, declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth knowledge, and night unto night showeth speech. There is no voice or language where their voice is not heard, or language is not heard. I'm saying, Elisha, you say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Not only is he in the natures I mentioned a while ago, but you'll also find him in the heavens. O Lord, our Lord, said David, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings is thou ordained strength, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands, thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The psalmist was saying, I look up and I say, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky, I see God in the stars. God is speaking to me in the stars. Starlight, star bright, first star I've seen tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might. Have this wish, I wish tonight. Look up, Elisha. Look up at the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper and the Milky Way and the North Star. Look up. There you'll see the Lord God of Elijah. He dwells in the beauty of the sunrise. He dwells in the majesty of the sunset. He dwells in the faithfulness of the North Star.
He dwells in the glamour of the clouds. He dwells in the spectacle of the rainbow. He dwells on the feather of the redbird. He dwells in the song of the sparrow. He dwells in the flight of the wren. He dwells in the migration of the snowbird, the forming of the Milky Way, the journey of the sun, the changing of the moon. I'm simply saying, Elisha, look up! You will see the Lord God of Elijah. Elijah's gone, but his God lingers forever. He was and was not, was dead and is risen, is alive forevermore. He lives forever. He lives! He lives! My Savior lives. Look up and you'll see him as the heavens declare the glory of God. Elisha, you ask the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You ask the question, Elijah's gone. You said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'd like to give you another place you'll find him. You'll find him in the transformed lives of God's redeemed people. You'll find him in an old sailor named John Newton, who was a vegetable, totally given up. All hope was gone for John Newton. God's marvelous grace reached lower than John Newton's sins. Picked the old sailor up and as a vegetable and saved his soul. It was he who said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first become. If I never saw a miracle, if I never saw a blind eye opened, if I never saw a deaf ear opened, if I never saw a sick person get well, if I never saw a lame person jump and leap like a hart, I can see God, the transformed lives of God's redeemed people. Elisha, see him in the drunk, an old drunk named Mel Trotter, right over here in Chicago, was as wicked as they come, an alcoholic, no hope, nobody gave him any hope. He was so wicked that his own little child, baby, died because of his wickedness. He took the shoes off the dead body, the corpse of his own little baby, and tiptoed out of the house and sold those shoes for enough money to buy him some more liquor. But he's walking down the streets of Chicago, and a little group was singing on a street corner, singing and playing some gospel song. And a faithful street preacher pointed to Jesus, and Mel Trotter looked to Jesus and became the father of the modern rescue mission. I'm saying, I see the Lord God of Elijah in the transformed lives of God's people. I see him in a Randall Frizzell, a deacon in this church, whose brother said to me one night at a Sunday school party, he said, preacher, I've got an unsaved brother named Randall. I want you to pray for him. It was getting about 11 o'clock at night. The party was about over. It was a bowling party. And I said to his brother, I said, well, why don't we go see him now? Well, he said he won't be home from work. He works the 3 to 11. Won't be home from work till about midnight. I said, let's go see him. Now, he said, preacher, he's mean. He may whip you. Well, first place, I doubt if Randall Frizzell could whip me. But he said he may whip you. And he's mean. I won't be responsible for what he does. I said, let's go see. When he got home from his job, we won him to Christ, and that man whom his brother was afraid me to go see has been a deacon in his church and one of the finest men in these church for all these years. The world says, where is your God? Look in the transformed lives of God's redeemed people. Look in the life of Paul O'Brien up here in the balcony, amazing trophy of God's redeeming grace. Look in the life of a prostitute over here in Calumet City. A young man walked this aisle and received Christ as Savior. He used to merchandise over there in Calumet City with a certain prostitute. Went back the next week, just a few blocks from where I'm standing right now, and walked in, and the prostitute came to do business with him, and he said, didn't come for that this time. He said, last Sunday morning at First Baptist Church of Hammond, I received Christ as my Savior. I'm born again. I've come to tell you what happened to me. I won't be coming here anymore. I'm saved now. And I want you to be saved. She said, how do you do it? He said, don't know how to tell you. I know I did it. But I said, Reverend House can tell you. And one day that prostitute knocked on the door of my office right over here. I went to the door, and there she stood, and she said, Reverend, please see me. I'm a prostitute over here in Calumet City, Illinois. I've been a prostitute there for a number of years. One of my customers got saved here last week and told me how his life was transformed and changed by the mighty power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to have what he had. I won that prostitute to Jesus Christ. She's here now. All these years she's been here. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. You atheist, explain to me how God can reach down and take a prostitute and lift her and make her a Sunday school teacher in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, for over 15 years. I'm saying if you want to see God, you look in the transformed lives of God's people. I want to say this. That same God can transform your life tonight. That same God can deliver you from your alcohol. That God can deliver you from your dope. That God can deliver you from your innocent sex. That God can deliver you from your homosexuality. I'm saying from sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. God is the transforming God. Elisha, you want to see God? You look at the hills from which cometh your strength. You want to see God? You look in the heavens. Consider the heavens and the work of God's hands. If you want to see God, you look in the lives of people whose lives have been totally transformed all over this building tonight. There are people here that were bound by liquor. And they came to Christ. And Christ delivered them from the bottle. There are people here that were bound by adultery. And Jesus delivered them from the lust of the flesh. There are people here bound by dope. And Jesus delivered them. I was lost in sin, but Jesus came to me. He's a wonderful Savior. He'll reach down tonight and lift you from the bottom of pit of sin and make you a child of the King and write your name in heaven and transform your whole life. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You'll see him in the twinkle of every star. You'll see him in the beauty of every sevenfold hue of the rainbow. You'll see him in every sunrise. You'll see him in every sunset. You'll see him in every rose. You'll see him in every daffodil. You'll see him in every sunrise. You'll see him in every sunset. You'll see him in every form and shape of the moon. You'll see him in the transformed lives of God's redeemed people. Now I'll tell you something. This old sin-sick country of ours is stupid. Got a bunch of second-rate psychologists and psychiatrists getting on television trying to tell everybody what the problem is. They are the problem. All the psychologists in America giving their answers, and the country goes down and down and down and down. The answer for the dope problem in America is not just say no to dope. The answer is the old gospel of Jesus Christ. The answer to your liquor problem is not don't drive while drunk. Don't drive while drinking. The answer is in the transforming power of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Two men were standing on a street corner one day. Young man walked by. One fellow said, "See that man?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Communism can put a new coat on that man." And the Christian said, "See that man?" The communist said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Jesus can put a new man in that coat." What America needs is the gospel. The answer is not Mr. Reagan. The answer is not Mr. Bush. The answer is in Jesus and the gospel of the grace of God. Elisha, you want to know where the Lord God of Elijah is? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Lift your eyes up to the hills. Look at the heavens. They declare the glory of God. You'll also find him in the transformed lives of God's blood-washed people. But Elisha, you'll also find him in God's providence. Look at your own people. Elisha, look at the Passover and see him. Look at your own people. Look at the drying of the Red Sea and see him. Look at your own people crossing over on dry land and see him. Look at your own people delivered from the Egyptian armies who were drowned crossing the same place where your people crossed and see him. Look at your own people. Look at the manna that fell from heaven 40 years every morning. Look at your own people. Look at the rock that came from the water that came from the rock in Horeb when smitten by Moses' rod. Look at your own people. See God's amazing care for His own people. Look at the shoes that they wore that didn't wear out for 40 years. Look at the clothes they wore that didn't wear out for 40 years. Look at the clothes that got bigger as the people got bigger, and smaller as the people got smaller. Look at God who took care of your people. Elisha, that same God of Moses is alive today. Elisha, that same God that parted the Red Sea can part Red Seas today. The same God that fed 3.5 million Jews for 40 years is in charge of the cupboard today. That same God that didn't let their shoes wear out and the clothes wear out is in charge of clothing us today. Lift up your eyes and look at the providence of Almighty God. I could stand here tonight for the hours, and I could do nothing but tell you God's wonderful answers to prayer. Look at my life, Elisha. Look at my mama. See her on her knees praying for God to help her rear a boy. She had no job. She had no money. She had no hope except Almighty God. If I did not believe in the God of Elijah for any other reason, I'd believe in God because of what God did for my mama in rearing the boy you're looking at right now. I know He's alive. But He said to me, how do you know there's a God? I said, if I walked up to a window and couldn't see anybody behind it, and I asked for something, they gave it to me. Asked for something else, and they gave it to me. Asked for something else, and they gave it to me. I asked for something else and they gave it to me, I'd come to the conclusion somebody is back there. He said, I don't believe in God. Add one thing to that, as far as you know. I know better. I've seen my little mama, and you've heard me say it time and time again. I've seen my little mama put the dishes on the table when I was a boy. What dishes we had. Some great jelly jars for glasses and a few leftover knives and forks that folks had brought us. And not one single thing on the table to eat. And I'd sit over there. My mama would sit over here. And I've seen my mama bow her heads and say, dear God, thank you for the food we're about to eat. I can recall looking up and trying to see where that food was we're about to eat. Not one piece of bread on that table. Not one morsel of food on that table. And my mama would say, oh God, here's the plates and here's the table. I don't ask you to feed me. But oh God, I can't help it if my boy's daddy is an alcoholic. I can't help it if he doesn't supply our needs. Oh God, feed my boy. Time and time again, I've heard people knock on the door while my mama was praying and say, I got some food for the Hiles family. My mama would take that basket of food and she'd put some turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce and English peas and pumpkin pie there on the table. And while I ate, she'd dance around the table clapping little hands and rejoicing and praising God. Don't you tell me there's no God. You say, didn't you shout and praise God? Yes, mama shouted before we ate. I shouted after I ate. Because I can shout better on a full stomach than I can on an empty stomach. I know that the Lord God of Elijah lives. I know why. I've seen His answered prayer. I tell this story around the country, and I don't think I've told it over a time or two here, but I tell it all over America. I tell this story. About that little couple came to my office one Sunday morning, sort of shy-like and timid-like and apologizing for coming. And they said, Brother Hiles, they said, don't you anoint the sick with oil and pray for God to heal the sick? And I said, yes, I do. And they said, oh, Brother Hiles, we can't have children. Doesn't that mean we're sick? The doctor said we can't have children. They went to Dr. Cal Streeter, I think it was, and we can't have children. And I said, well, I don't know. I never have done this before. I never have prayed for, nor anybody with oil, and prayed for God to give him a baby. Well, they said, we're sick, aren't we? Well, I guess so. Well, no, you're not sick. You haven't got the flu or pneumonia. Well, I know, but there's something wrong with our bodies. Isn't that what being sick is? Well, I guess so. Well, anoint us with oil then. I got a little oil of that finger and all that finger and put it on the brow of that lady and that man. And I said, dear God, I've never done this before, but I pray you'd open the womb of this lady and give life to the seed of this man and give him a baby. Less than 3 months, they came by my office grinning like possums. Well, I've never seen a possum grin. Grinning like possums and
And she said to me, Brother Hiles, we're going to have a baby. Word spread across this great auditorium and this great church like wildfire. Brother Hiles prayed for that couple. They couldn't have children. Dr. Fleeter said they couldn't. And now they're going to have a baby. 11 couples got together that couldn't have babies. All of them had been to Dr. Hiles Fleeter. And all of them came to me and said, would you pray for God to give us a baby? And they got together because they didn't want to come alone. I anointed 22 people in my office one Sunday morning and asked God to give them babies. And we got 12 babies out of those 11 couples. 10 had one had twins, bless God. Then Dr. Cal Streeter, their doctor, came and said, Brother Hiles, would you anoint my wife and I? We can't have babies either. I anointed Dr. Streeter. They got a house full of kids now. He came one day and said, Brother Hiles, you got any reverse oil you can use on me? One little couple, 40 years of age, came to my office. 40, are you listening to me? 40 years of age, came to my office. They said, Brother Hiles, it wouldn't work for us, would it? I said, yes, it would. Oh, she said, this is silly. We'd never have a baby. God wouldn't give me a baby. I said, you will too. He said, oh, Brother Hiles, forget it. I said, no, don't forget it. God's going to give you a baby. They didn't want to get anointed with oil after all, but I grabbed some and splattered it on them. I forgot to tell you, Brother Johnny, I anointed Elaine with oil for the service tonight, too, by the way, in case you'd like to know. It took a miracle. I got a few people together and gave that couple a shower. She wasn't even pregnant, both of them 40 years old. She said, this is silly. I started to say, at the shower, she's as flat as I am. She's a heap fatter than I am. She said, this is silly. I'm not even pregnant. You give me a baby shower. I'd never given a baby shower in my life, and I'll never give another one in my life either, but I gave one for her. Just a few little people got together and gave her some gifts. I said, now go home and make a nursery out of your back bedroom. Well, they said, why don't women get pregnant first? I said, God's going to give you a baby. He said, oh, Brother Howell, this is silly. I said, go home and do it. You got to use this stuff. You got the shower somewhere. Put it in the nursery in the back bedroom. They went home and decorated their back bedroom, got ready for the baby they weren't expecting. They said, this is silly. I said, you got to believe. One day they came by my office about 4 months later, grinning like bigger possums, like old possums grin. He said to me, he said, preacher, my wife's pregnant. I said, no. Oh, let me tell you something. You hang around me for a few years, you'll believe in God. You see how God answers my prayers and you'll believe in God. Elisha, you ask the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I'll tell you where he is. He's in answered prayer. That's where he is. He's in the great providence of Almighty God. Elisha, I understand how you feel. I've seen Dr. John Rice pass away. I've seen Dr. Bob Jones go. I've seen my pastor go. I've seen my heroes go. I know how you feel. But Elisha, let me say, you ask the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I say, you'll find him in nature. You'll find him in the conception of life. You'll find him in the birth of a baby. You'll find him in the miracle of life. The world itself is a great temple. The blue heavens are its dome. The glowing stars are its chandeliers. The vernal earth is its emerald floor. Its anthems of praise are sung by the voices of the ocean, thunder, birds, wind, and the hum of creation. You will find him in nature. Look at nature and see God in every turn of the beautiful kaleidoscope of creation. Everything you see is another letter in God's alphabet of truth, which preaches to us that he lives. The God of Elijah is still alive, Elisha, and the power that he had is available for you. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You'll see him in nature. You'll see him in the heavens. You'll see him in the hills. You'll see him in the transformed lives. Elisha, you'll also see him in his word. You'll see him in his word. Nature spells out the first half of the sentence and writes upon the scrolls of heaven and earth. But the Bible finishes the sentence and completes God's sermon to man The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Elisha, you'll see him in the Bible. I dare you, Elisha, look at Psalm 77:18, and you'll find electricity is prophesied in the Bible when it says the lightnings lighteth the earth. You look in Job 38:35, you'll find the telephone prophesied in the Bible. You look in Leviticus 17, you'll find the life of the flesh is in the blood prophesied in the Bible. When George Washington was sick, they drained his blood because they thought they had to get new blood in him. But we have found the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11 said that long time before scientists and doctors found out about it. You'll find airplanes mentioned in Isaiah 60, verse 8. You'll find television prophesied in Revelation 11, verses 3 through 12. You'll find cars prophesied in Naaman. I'll read it for you, Elisha. The shield of the mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another. 50 cars and one accident yesterday in our area. The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broadways. There are your freeways. They shall seem like torches. There's your combustible engine. They shall run like the lightning. There's your cars. Elisha, Elijah's dead, but his God's alive. Moses is dead, but his God's alive. Aaron is dead, but his God's alive. You'll find him in the Word of God. You'll find the multitude of planets prophesied in Hebrews 1:2 and 11:3. You'll find the earth is round, prophesied in Isaiah 40:22. You'll find the God of Elijah in his word. Elisha, you ask the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You'll find him in the persevering lives of God's people. I point you tonight to Mrs. Ramsey. I point you to look at her walk as she walks, and yet she keeps on going for God. You'll find the Lord God of Elijah there. I point you tonight to Mrs. Richards, who's been fighting cancer for months and years, who just keeps on going. You'll find the Lord God of Elijah in her life. I point you to Mrs. Evans. We thought she wouldn't be alive for a year or two. Brother, she kept on going. And tonight she's strong and well and keeps on going. I point you to Mrs. Evans, her perseverance. I point you there. You'll see there the Lord God of Elijah. I point you to Pat Cunningham, who has multiple cirrhosis, and yet who serves on the staff of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I point you to her. You'll see God there. I point you to Rose O'Brien. I point you to Bob and Mrs. Kelly down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Mrs. Kelly confined to a wheelchair with multiple cirrhosis. But old Dr. Bob Kelly keeps on going. Mrs. Kelly does not turn back. I point you to Dr. and Mrs. Arnold Winninger up at the Maranatha Baptist Bible College. Dr. Winninger is president. Several, many years ago now, it's been, probably 20 years ago, Dr. Rice and I were in Calvary Baptist Church in Normal, Illinois. That's the place where I saw that article in the paper. And that was the time I saw it. There's a town near Normal, Illinois called Oblong, Illinois. I was sitting there at that very meeting reading the newspaper. In the society section, it said, oblong girl to marry a normal boy. Dr. Winninger asked us one night, said, Dr. Hiles, would you and Dr. Rice come to my house and pray for Mrs. Winninger? She's ill. We don't know what it is. We went over there and prayed, had a prayer with her. God did not see fit to heal her for some reason that we'll find out about someday. Found out she had multiple cirrhosis. Now for many years, she's just been totally bedfast. She can't get outside the house. Occasionally, maybe to go to the doctor, and that's about it. Like a vegetable. When I go there, I go to see her. In fact, this church gave her, they have a two-story house. We gave her one of these little chairs that fits on a stairwell. so she could go upstairs. That's been several years ago, but she can't even get on that chair anymore and use it. And yet Dr. Winninger keeps on going, and she keeps on smiling. That's where you'll find God. Elisha, you will find him in the young ladies at Howells Anderson College. They don't know how they're going to pay their way through school, but they keep on going to school. Elisha, you'll find him in the faculty members that live on poverty wages in order to influence the lives of young people. Elisha, you'll find him in the bus workers on a cold day. People last Sunday talked about the fans at Soldier Field. They're out there one Sunday watching a football game. And I thought about our bus workers out there every Sunday. Every Saturday and every Sunday. If you want to find God, Elisha, let me point you to an army of bus workers at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, who keep on going for God. Don't you tell me there's no God. Don't you tell me there's no God. I saw him in my mama. I see him in these people that keep on going. I see him in these widows here that go home tonight to a darkened house. I see him tonight in these ladies rearing their children alone, wondering how they're going to make ends meet and wishing they could give them all the privileges that other children, young folks, have. I see God tonight in Glenn and Ava Mae Smith that just keep on going and don't tell their heartaches to anybody, but just keep on going. I see him tonight in these college men that go to college by day and work by night and get a couple hours sleep a night and keep on going. I see him in these college wives who sit in these little apartments and wait for graduation so someday they can find out what their husband looks like. By the time he graduates, it's been so long, he's ugly, they don't want him anymore. Now, Elisha, try him. Try him, Elisha. What you got in your hand? Got Elijah's mantle. Wonder where God is? Try him. Pick up your mantle, Elisha. You come to the Jordan River. Jordan River was parted by Elijah. You all came over here. Elijah took that mantle and smote the Jordan River. The Jordan River stood up and saluted and said, I know when I'm licked. Elijah always has that power over me. Walked over on dry ground. That little rushing, wild-like river called the Jordan River, nothing but a giant creek, but it's a fast-moving, wild kind of a river. Elijah, you got Elijah's mantle there. Grab a hold of it. Smite that Jordan River. Elisha says, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He takes that mantle and smites that river. The Jordan River says, good night, there's another just like another fellow. Jordan River stood at attention while Elisha walked over. I told you, Elisha, he lives. The same God of Elijah still lives. The same God that sent fire on Mount Carmel still lives. The God of Abraham is still alive. The God of Moses and David and Daniel and Joshua is alive tonight. Let me tell you something. That same mighty God that came and sent fire for Elijah on Mount Carmel is our God tonight. Same God that I talked to a couple hours this afternoon in the woods, that same God is the same God that gave Elisha the power to part the waters of the Jordan River. He's alive tonight! The real Jehovah, omnipotent God of gods and creator of the universe is alive! Tragedy is we don't see him. We're too busy buying and selling and eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. We don't see him. Believe him. Love him. Serve him. Trust him. He's alive. You say, where are the miracles? Still here. I could point to people all over this room tonight who are dying with cancer. And we went to God and prayed for them, and God has healed them, and there's not one trace of cancer in their bodies anymore. I mentioned a while ago And I could talk on and on and on. I mentioned a while ago Rose O'Brien and Paul O'Brien. They had a little daughter. She still do. She's not little anymore. Well, she's little, but she's not young anymore. She's a teenager. Doctors here told her that she, what was they said she had, Rose? A bad kidney. Going to have to remove the kidney. And they said they have to have surgery. And I said to Rose and Paul, I said, she didn't have to have surgery. We anointed that girl with oil and prayed for that girl, and she went to Mayo Clinic to have her checked, and they said she doesn't need a kidney removed. I can point to JoJo Moffitt right down here. Well, they said she wouldn't live a year or so. We had prayer and anointed JoJo with her. She's not supposed to be alive now. In fact, she wanted to go to heaven. If you live with Roy, you'd want to go to heaven too. I could point all over this building to God's miracle working power. All over this building. I could point to that college campus out there. Tell you about the night when I walked in that one dark night, and there was a priest, they called him a priest, sitting out there in his robe and smoking a cigarette. And I said, I want to buy your campus. He said, we'll never sell it to you. I said, yes, you will. God's going to give us his campus. He said, if we ever do sell it, the Baptists will be the last folks we'd sell it to. And I said, you're right. The Baptist folks will be the last folks that you'll sell it to. So for 12 months, every month, I went out there one night a month, and all night long walked and prayed for that campus. If the weather was anywhere near decent, I took off my shoes and I walked up and down that campus and prayed for God to give us that campus. I'd walk to the dormitories and put my hand up against the room and I'd say, God, these guys that are in here, send them home. Empty this dormitory. We need it. I walked up those hills on my bare feet in the decent weather and I said, God, give me this. Give me the where my sole of my foot touches. I pray you'd give it. I claimed it for God. I walked down in the little valleys and I said, I want these valleys. I walked across that lake. Up and down that boat, I walked. I said, God, give it to us. I prayed every student out of that Catholic seminary except seven. And by the way, give me another 6 months, I'd prayed those seven out too. I got a call one day from Wisconsin. The fellow was head of the Capuchin order, whatever that is. And he said, is this Reverend Hiles? I said, this is old Reverend himself. He said, I'm with the Capuchin order, whatever that is. And I said, you got a school for sale, don't you? He said, how did you know? I said, I've been doing some investigating. He said, we want to sell it. They only have seven students. He said, let's have it for $3.5 million. I said, no, I won't give you that. I'll give you $2 million. He thought about it. Came back and he said, I will take $3 million. I came back and I said, I'll give you $2.25 million. He came back and said, I'll take $2.75 million. I came back and said, I'll give you $2.5 million. He said, I won't take it. I said, it's my last offer. I was going to the airport one day. I called the office. My secretary said, call Wisconsin Capuchin headquarters. I called Capuchin headquarters. He said, I'll take your offer. He said, just write the check. Write the check. the easy part was over. The hard part was starting. I couldn't have written a check for $2,500, much less $2.5 million. I said, we'll lease it for $300,000 for 18 months, and I'll give you the check at the end of the 18 months. Bless God, we didn't have a dime. And God gave us that $2.5 million, and the most beautiful campus on the face of God's earth is out there. God gave it to a bunch of fundamentalists. Don't you tell me there's no God in heaven. Don't you tell me the Lord God of Elijah is alive tonight. He wants to be near to you, and he wants you to trust him and serve him and live for him. And if you don't know him, he wants you to trust him as your Savior. You don't have to run. You got the Lord God of Elijah with you. You haven't got to turn back. You got the Lord God of Elijah. You haven't got to whine and complain. You got the Lord God of Elijah with you. Same God. Elijah stood up there on Mount Carmel. One of the funniest things in all the Bible. They said, Baal is God. He said, no, Jehovah's God. Baal is God. No, Jehovah's God. He said, let's just see who's God. Let's just build an altar. Yeah, let's put an animal up there on the altar. And you pray for Baal to send fire and consume that animal. If Baal does it, I'll become a member of the first Baal church in Jerusalem. But if Baal doesn't send fire, I'll ask Jehovah God to send fire. And they got up there and put that animal on the altar. And they said, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before or Him. Amen. 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 And the president of the Baal Alliance, the Baal Alliance, the Baal ministerial assassination, said, thou the great God of Baal, the God of Baal, wouldest thou send fire? And the choir said, all things come of thee, O God, and of thine own give we unto thee. Amen. 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 And they said, now Dr. Shuler is going to lead us in our prayer. And Dr. Norman Vincent Peale is going to... And they started praying. Oh, Baal, send fire. Elijah's over there. Can I have this mic? Hey. Thanks. Elijah, I said I was going to preach to you folks tonight, didn't I? Elijah over there eating a McDonald's cheese quarter pounder. Having trouble getting fire down, fellas? They said, maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's on a vacation. That's what he said. He said, maybe he is pursuing or being pursued. Maybe, let's call a little louder. They called in National Council of the Churches. And 700 Club came. PTL Club cooperated in that, too. Buildings are full tonight. Just trying to sort of clear out a little space for more sinners maybe. Oh, God, God, send fire. Elijah started eating his French fries. He said, won't you wait a while? He's probably on a hunting trip. That's what he said. He's on a hunting trip. Won't you wait a while? And the Bible says they cut themselves. That's the only intelligent thing they did. They cut themselves. Elijah said, are you through? He's a southern. You through? You done? And they said, amen. And Elijah said, move over. He said, boys, he said, I want some more water on this sacrifice. He said, let's pour several more barrels on it. Make it. They said, but that's going to make the wood dry. Or wet. Water makes it wet. That's going to make the wood wet. And God said, my God can send fire to wet wood as good as He can to dry wood.
Elijah looked up and said, "Thou, the great God that parted the Red Sea for Moses, is still alive. Thou, the great God that caused the sun to stand still for Joshua, lives today. And I pray, God, you'd vindicate yourself and show these prophets of Baal that you're the true and the living God. Send fire." Whew! The fire came. Consumed the animal on the altar. Consumed the altar and lapped up the water in the ditches. I mean, there's God drinking water out of the ditch. Lapping up the water in the ditches. Elisha, watching all that. All of a sudden, a whirlwind comes and takes the pastor up to heaven. And Brother Colston, that is Elisha, looked up and saw him leave, and he said, "Good night. I'm in charge." And he said, and I'm going to preach on this one of these days, maybe next Sunday morning. He didn't say, "Is there a God of Elijah?" He knew Elijah had a God. He didn't say, "Is there a God of Elijah?" He just said, "I know he is. I just want to find him. Let me find him too." 1989, January 15, 1989, that same God that sent fire for Elijah is alive today. Same God. Serve him. Love him. Trust him. Praise him. Honor him. He lives, Elisha, just like he lived. And by the way, you'll check the history of Elijah. You'll find that Elijah had 7 miracles he performed in his lifetime. Elisha said, "Give me a double portion of Elijah." If you're going to ask for that, if you're going to ask for Elijah's power, you may as well go be more ridiculous than that. Go for the whole thing. You check the ministry of Elisha. Exactly twice as many miracles. He had 14. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? He's alive. See him in the twinkle of the star. See him in the falling of the snowflake. See him in the plunging of the waterfall and the raindrop. See him in the snow-covered mountains. See him in the hills and the verdant valleys. See him in the birth of a child. See him in the testimony of redeemed people. See him in the perseverance of God's people. I just want to sort of stir your faith tonight and let you know that this is not just playing around. I mean, he's alive tonight. What you need. I bet he can fill it. I bet he can. Who was it asked the question? Is there anything? The question was asked, is there anything too hard for God? When Abraham and Sarah found out they're going to have a baby at the age of 190, not 190, but 190. But if God had wanted to give Sarah a baby and she's 190, he'd give her a baby then too. Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100. Question came and said, "How can this be?" Answer asked, came, question comes, "Is there anything too hard for God?" Over there in Jeremiah, the answer comes, "There's nothing too hard for God."